The PGA Tour presents the fusion of golf, music, sports, and entertainment. Golf Talk America, streaming live on PGATour.com. Follow us today and every day on Twitter at Golf Talk America. Now, the Golf Talk America crew.
And welcome in, everybody. Frank Bassett joining you live from the 2019 edition of the PGA Merchandise Show here at the Orange County Convention Center in Orlando, Florida. We're coming to you live from the main radio stage outside of the equipment entrance. And, well, all I can say is we probably have the Mount Rushmore of golf up here on this stage today. Thank you, Brendan, for that graphic. I appreciate that. Joining me is my good friend Brendan Sweeney from the French Lick Resort. Brendan, thank you.
Frank, thank you. This is the best thing about a three-day bender is day number two. So we're at the second day of the PGA Show.
Yeah, it's been a fun week. The Top Golf party last night for Folds of Honor was a great event.
Saw Journey.
Journey.
Saw Journey 1983 at Poplar Creek.
Yeah. Let's just go ahead and do it. Let's bring him in. Also hosting with us is the man who was my mentor in getting into this business and has helped me immensely year after year after year and puts up with my shenanigans is Mr. Bob Bupka. Hey, pal.
Hey, pleasure to be here. Of course, I was just thinking because the gentleman to my left is a giant in the industry, no lack of a better word for it. Jim, and I've known Jim a long time, respected everything that he's done, but we've never really shared a microphone.
No, we have not done that. Yeah,
yeah, this is a first for me.
Yeah, well, thank you.
Great to be with you.
And that's the voice of Jim Nugent, the founder, and I guess you're the CEO, publisher. Global Golf Post.
Yep.
Which is where we steal most. I mean, we use it for our reference material for this show. Thanks for coming up, Jim. We appreciate it.
Thank you for having me on, and thank you for stealing or whatever it is you do with our content. Please keep it up.
Hey, we're having a great time doing it, and thank you for your support when we started the show many years ago. And
remember that. Yeah.
You were behind us 100%. We value that relationship to this day.
Well, it means a lot to us. We're happy to help you get started, and we're thrilled to see your progress.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
Good road.
So Bob, you're the man with most of the answers in this industry. You've been around a bit of time. So what are your first thoughts about this year's 2019 edition of the show?
Well, I see a lot of excitement, and you know, had an opportunity to spend some time with Seth Waugh, the new CEO of the PGA of America, Susie Whaley, the first female president. There's lots of excitement at the PGA with the move coming up to Frisco, Texas. It seems like it's going to just be awesome, and it's going to provide many opportunities for club professionals, which really is the main stay of the PGA of America. Everybody thinks about the PGA Championship. They think about the Ryder Cup. But the club professionals, 29,000 of them are the backbone of that organization, and I think a lot of good things are coming down the road for those members of the PGA of America. Couldn't be happier about that.
Yeah. And Jim, you have the pulse of this thing. Global Golf Post and your staff is all over the place and covering it from front to back and side to side. What are your thoughts?
You know, I'd echo what Bob had to say. I think that the combination of Seth and Susie, kind of a dynamic duo right now. It's a real opportunity for the PGA of America to get a new sense of urgency, a new sense of confidence as it moves forward. And that's not to be critical in any way of Pete Pavaco, who did an outstanding job in his time there, and the staff, the leadership staff that he assembled. But it just feels like there's a moment in time here. You've got your first woman president, the president of the organization. You've got a CEO who didn't grow up in the organization, and so he brings a fresh set of eyes to it. It's a unique moment in time for the PGA of America, and one that I think the organization is very excited about.
I know everybody here is excited about Susie Whaley, for sure.
Oh, she's a great person.
She's just a great person. Brendan and I know her, as we all do on this Dios, very well. And she's a heck of a pretty good stick, too.
She's a participant in the Senior LPGA Championship at the French Lick Resort.
She can get it around.
Yes, she can. She took money off of you, didn't she?
Absolutely. It's not that hard to do.
Jim, what's happening at Global Golf Post? What's new and different and exciting for 2019?
We just 16 days ago launched a new platform that we call Global Golf Post Plus. It's a paid subscription model. For $7 a month, your listeners will be able to encounter original, premium quality journalism that you can't find anywhere else in an advertising-free environment. We're just a couple weeks into it, as I said, very encouraged. Most of the other websites are going in a different direction. They're seeking eyeballs and page views. We're going to go with quality over quantity, and the early returns are very, very encouraging. We've got a great story there this week about the whole backstory of how the PGA of America wound up going to Frisco, Texas. We've got a wonderful profile of John Ashworth's golf life that's up there. So we're very, very encouraged by what we're seeing with this new platform. We're going to continue with the Monday Digital Edition. This is in addition to what we do every Monday.
Well, we'll jump into that because quality content has always been Global Golf Post from the start, but to get it condensed, it seems like it's almost like an on-demand. Everybody's going to rifle shot, if you will, news and rifle shot listening and watching. So congratulations, and we wish you all the best on that endeavor.
Well, thank you. We're excited about it. You know, the there's an old expression. It was first said by George Plimpton, the smaller the ball, the better the journalism. And that's been true about golf, which is one of the smallest balls in the game. And it's always been associated with great journalism, and we're hoping to uphold that tradition and advance it in the digital era.
That's a name from the past, Bob. George Plimpton, the Paper Lion.
Paper Lion.
Was his,
Alan Alda played him.
Alan Alda
that's
played
right.
him in the movie.
Good call.
Yeah. Legendary, that's for sure. And, you know, it's amazing. But one of the things, the biggest surprises I've had this week, yesterday I had scheduled some time with Hank Haney. And before we started our interview, all he wanted to talk about was pickleball. And pickleball, according to Hank Haney, is spreading all over this country.
I see it in Chicago. Yeah, it's happening.
It's amazing.
I don't know what it is, but...
Yeah. Well,
Bob, what is it?
It's like life-size ping pong.
Well, he said it's Hank Haney said it was a cross, Brendan, between ping pong and tennis.
Yeah.
And there were only five rules, and... Hank Haney has a court in his front yard, so
I don't doubt that.
I mean,
everything's big in Texas.
I don't know, but well, I just thought it was funny. Pickleball.
The paddle show is going. Paddle and racket show is going on the other side
end of the building. Yeah, yeah.
We didn't know when Frank and I were walking in today. We noticed that the paddle ball show was going on. The size of the PGA show over the past couple of years seemed to be shrinking a little bit.
It has. You know, TaylorMade's not here this year. That's a big amount of square foot that's not being used. But, yeah, over the years, especially in the equipment side, I think manufacturers have kind of rationalized the amount of space that they need to do the job. And so it has shrunk. There was a time, you know, 15 years ago where I think we used this whole building.
Yeah,
now
in the hallways.
And we're sharing it with another show. So that's changed over the last decade.
I don't think that's indicative of a shrinkage in the game as much as it is just better utilization of funds.
No, I think you're exactly right. Better utilization of funds, but also other resources, human resources. You know, it's expensive to get people here and to house them and feed them. And so I think the manufacturers are saying, look, we can achieve the same outcome. We can get the same return. We don't have to spend quite as much money as we did 10 years ago.
The one thing we discussed this morning, guys, on a funnier note, or not a funny note for a lot of the flyers, is with the situation in our government right now, this airport in Orlando is not going to be a lot of fun getting out of here tomorrow.
If you have the TSA pre-screen and clear pass, it's not a problem at all, Frank.
Okay.
But you drove.
I drove. I drove for that reason, too. So I could spend
time. It's... You know, Friday's not the worst day in the world. Sunday's checkout day at that airport. That's when it's
really going to be ugly.
Yeah. So you shouldn't have too much trouble tomorrow, but it's not a good situation for the TSA across the country from what I'm hearing.
Did you flow down from Chicago?
I did, yeah. But I came down a week ago, so I beat all the problems.
All the problems. Good stuff.
Now, Bob, what's...
Well, there goes Seth Warrior. See how hard he works?
Look at this guy. This guy looks good, doesn't he?
The new guy in the block.
You think he'd still be in his hotel
Mr.
suite.
Mr. Baker, how are you?
He's working hard. Good meeting yesterday, Seth, and certainly encouraging news coming forward from the PGA of America. I know you're excited. You told us about the move to Texas, and my main takeaway, I'll share this with you, listening to you and Susie, the dedication that you're going to be placing the emphasis on the club professionals, your 29,000 members, it seems like you guys combined, Susie and yourself, are on a mission to make it better for those club pros. And boy, anybody that's involved in golf, we all have our own favorite club pro story, and I wish you luck.
Well, I've been lucky enough to be around a lot of them. None of them have been able to help me with my golf game, but that's my fault, not theirs. Look, we were put on earth to do exactly that, right? We've got this huge dividend from our success commercially in terms of television and Ryder Cup and our championships and everything else, and now we got to figure out how to take that dividend and give it back to both the members and the game, right? That's and in giving it to the game, we'll give it back to our members. It's we got to leave the room better than we found it and make a lot of lives better in the process.
I know you're in a rush, but could you just sum up two or three of the main reasons the PGA of America, after all these years here in Florida, has opted to go to Frisco, Texas?
Sure. I mean, it's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, right? We have, we were at a point where we needed to do something about our building. We just kind of, it had timed out, if you will. We started a process to sort out how to do that and did, RFPs around the country to see that. And our presumption really was we'd probably stay where we are because we love South Florida and we've had a great home there and a great legacy and weren't looking to leave, but we're looking to update our facilities. And Frisco jumped out off the page, leapt out from the page in a lot of reasons, certainly economically in terms of how generous they're being to entice us there, but more importantly in terms of the dream that we can build. There's 600 acres of raw land, which is the clay that we can mold to build our dream, right, which is not our headquarters, but which is a community of golf. So there'll be two championship golf courses. We're going to hold 23 events over the next 13 years once we get in there, which is really cool. We're going to have a 9-hole short course, which will be, by the way, all these will be public access, so everybody can go play. We're going to have the best training facility on earth, the best education facility on earth for our members. We're going to have a retail component. There's going to be a 4.5-star resort. All of which is being funded by our partners, the Omni Group and some local developers that are putting roughly $500 million into our brand, our game. You know, everybody's worried about the state of the game. Well, here's somebody making a pretty big bet on the game, right? And so the leverage that provides us for just building our building there and lending our brand to this dream is enormous and once in a lifetime kind of opportunity. I think if we do it right, it can become the real epicenter for golf. Not because we're the anchor tenant, but because the energy around it, not just as a destination to play golf, but the commerce of golf, which we're seeing all week, right? Like, it's the innovation that's going on, the excitement about all the things that are going on. We believe that we can bring that community, that kind of university, almost a Silicon Valley of golf kind of community to life. Over a generation, it's not going to be just because we're there. It'll take time, I think, to build.
You're listening to Seth Waugh, the CEO of the PGA of America. And at the risk of losing you as a good friend, Mr. Waugh, what are the plans for Whistling Straits so that we can lick our wounds after the battle in France?
The plan is to win.
The plan is to win. I'm sure. Well said.
Yeah. No. Obviously, we didn't love the result, but the thing that we got reminded of is the power of the Ryder Cup and the power of the game. It's unlike any other golf event, unlike any other sporting event. It's more akin to the Olympics or something else, and the fervor around it, the nationalism around it is amazing. And so the result wasn't great, but I'm so proud of what the European Tour and the French Federation and Pascal Grigaud put together there. The crowds were amazing. Like, they took a lot of risks to do that, the show they put on was remarkable, both on and off the golf course.
The question is begging to be asked. Will there be pickleball in Frisco, Texas?
I think there's going to be pickleball everywhere. I think it's an interesting question. I use it a little bit as an analogy of tennis isn't dying, but it's not growing, and pickleball is exploding, right? And it's become a game, and I think we have to pay attention to things like that and the growth of Topgolf and Drive Shack and things that are fun and community-based that you can do quickly and become proficient at relatively quickly. you know, golf is intimidating, right? It's hard and it takes, you know, everybody presumes it takes a lot of time. You know, I was talking to Jim Autry this morning, and, you know, he's past, you know, CEO of the PGA. His granddaughter was trying to get her to play. She couldn't hit the ball off the grass. Took her to Topgolf and just to see it, had lunch, hit balls, music. She absolutely loved it. You know, they ran out of their hour, and she says, "You want to do it again?" He says, "Absolutely." And yeah. So, you know, that there's something going on here, right? I think it's also true of PGA Junior League, where we have, you know, it's gone to from 5,000 or so kids. You know, when we took it over 5 or 6 years ago, and it's over 50,000 now. And by the way, 40% are girls, and 20 to 25% are of color.
Wow,
you know, things are going on that are very encouraging in the game. And pickleball, you know, as an analogy for golf, of saying, How do we create other forms of golf that will get people into the game that are fun and quick and easy and co-ed and all the kind of things that, you know, are great about all the games? Like the game started in you know, with shepherds, with, you know, staffs and hitting rocks in the holes, right? It's supposed to be a kid's game. It's supposed to be fun, and we got to remember that.
Well said. That's very well said. If it's not fun, don't do it.
Yep.
Make
well,
it
thanks,
fun.
Thanks, guys. Thanks
Thank
for all
you
do.
So much
great
for stopping by.
Thanks, Seth.
We appreciate it, Seth.
I appreciate it.
Good luck to you. All right, Seth Wall from the PGA of America. Mr. Bupka has friends in high places. I need to get Sweeney back in here.
Oh, along with Dan Baker.
Oh, yes, Dan Baker.
The PGA of America.
So, guys.
Did you guys see that alligator that was just out here?
There was a gator, a live gator somebody just brought up to the stage.
You'll see it all this week here at Orange County Convention Center.
Yeah.
Well, I was thinking boots.
I was thinking new grip for this
bloodline
putter.
On. I should have shown the alligator my belt and said, "Look, this is what you'll be if you
cousin.
Stick around here.
Yes.
This is
your
cousin right here."
Lefty.
Jim Nugent, Global Golf Post publisher, founder. Thank you for stopping by. Congratulations on your new endeavor. And where can they go to get Global Golf Post?
You can get the free Monday edition. You can sign up for it at globalgolfpost.com. And at the same place, you can take a look at our new subscription platform, Global Golf Post Plus. If you like that, you can subscribe to it at the same place, globalgolfpost.com.
And before I will be remiss if I don't go here. AJGA.
Yeah.
What's happening?
I serve on the board of the AJGA. I have for 25 years or more now. It's my way of giving back to this game that's been good to me, starting when I was a caddy and now from a business standpoint. The organization continues to thrive. We're turning out good kids. We're turning out a lot of kids named Jordan Spieth and Justin Thomas and Lexi Thompson, but more importantly, we're turning out a lot of kids whose names you'll never hear that are going back to their communities and their doctors and their lawyers and their small businessmen, but they got a chance to go to college because of their ability to get the ball in the hole quickly. And so it's a great honor for me to be able to serve the AJGA, and I hope to continue to do so for a long time.
Yeah, thank you for doing that. That's a wonderful organization.
Yeah, we had the opportunity a couple of years ago to go to Reynolds Plantation.
Yeah, it's not called Reynolds Plantation anymore.
Lake Oconee.
Lake Oconee.
Yeah, that was
Mike Scully's the new GM there.
He is, yeah. Medina. I just saw that. That just took place at the end of last year.
Yeah, what a great guy he is.
What we're going to do is take a very short break and bring in Dr. Bob Winters to give us his insights on why my golf game is always in the ditch. You're listening to Golf Talk America on PGAtour.com, PGA Tour Radio. Don't go anywhere. There's the music. That means we're back. That was a really short break. It'll be even shorter, Bob, when the show's published on PGAtour.com because there will be basically no break. Bob Bupka joining me. He is the host of The Grill Room. And where do we get The Grill Room, Bob?
Well, just about everywhere.
It's all over the place.
Yeah. Grillroom.com is probably the easiest.
Easiest one to get?
Yeah, thanks.
Thanks
Armed Forces
here.
Radio?
He's everywhere. He's all over the place. And Brendan Sweeney from the French Lick Resort, my good friend.
Yay.
And my roommate and travel partner for the past 6 years, 7, 8 years, I guess.
That's pretty scary.
That is scary stuff.
Well, let's give a shout out to Greg Cox and Ron Pearl, our flunkies
They're not flunkies. Now that, yeah. Thank you, boys. They keep us going here. They're the producers this week of the show. But joining me now is the man who was on the show last year and gave me some advice about how to beat my good friend Roger Sarche.
Take 2 weeks off and quit.
He didn't say that. But I just want to bring him back because I'm desperately in need of his psychological boost and help and positive thinking. Dr. Bob Winters. Hey, buddy. How are you?
Frank, it's great to be on the show. You know, and it's great to be sitting next, you know, to Brendan and Bob Bupka. I've known Bob Bupka for many, many years and just a wealth of intelligentsia, you know, on golf and every other thing. I'm surprised he's not even a congressman right now.
Well,
with the political climate, I'm glad.
I'd rather be a senator. We need to get to 60.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Hey, thanks for joining us. What's late and great and new with Dr. Bob Winters?
Well, I got to tell you, we are very excited to be here at the show, and we're presenting. We presented yesterday to the PGA Education Sessions. I have got a new book that's going to be coming out, you know, later this spring, called The 10 Mental Rules of Great Putting: What You Already Know and What You Need to Learn Again. And so I presented that yesterday, and here in a little bit, I'm going to be giving a talk to the PGA Master Professionals. All of those here that have attained master professional status with the PGA of America, and I'm going to talk to them on what I learned from an 86-year-old Fuller Brush salesman.
That's really?
Talking about developing confidence and talking about where does that confidence come from, because this man was his name, Oscar Bowles, and he was 86 years old. And when I was doing my doctorate at the University of Virginia with Dr. Linda Bunker and Dr. Bob Rotella, I met this man. And he was the most energetic, enthusiastic person I'd ever met. And I finally asked Oscar, I said, when are you going to retire? And he looked at me, and this is Fuller Brush. This is direct sales, door to door, the toughest thing in the world. And he said to me, he said, well, heck, Bob, I don't know. I'm just starting to get pretty good at this thing.
Good gracious.
And that was, you know, and that's really, you know, a great attribute, because we talk about the abilities in golf and in life. But I learned durability, credibility, adaptability, sustainability, and the most, you know, common ability I think that all people should have is the ability to like people, the likability factor.
I agree with that 100%. It's all about relationships and everything we do, and you can establish a relationship, in my opinion, immediately just by virtue of any commonality that you have with that individual, and in the first 10 seconds of that meeting, you should be able to seek that out, I would think.
Oh, absolutely. And this is what the PGA of America show is. It's just not a golf show or a show about golf service industry or even entertainment. It is the industry of human connections. And that's really what, you know, this business and this golf business is all about. It's about the experience, about human beings, about people, you know, getting together and loving the game and growing the game. And having a blast doing it. And that's really part of my job as a sports psychologist, to help people get better, you know, every day with what they're doing and love the process. And sometimes you hate this game. I know, Frank, that sometimes that you hate this game, but it's the, you know, a game that you just love to hate, because you hit that one great shot, and in psychology we call this partial reinforcement. It's the shot that just brings you back, and you go, I can't wait to go out and do it again tomorrow.
Well, Dr. Bob, I have to tell you that playing Lake Nona on Monday, I was using my handicap in a group, and I got to this par 3 that I carded a net zero. Now, net zero is a heck of a score on a par 3.
I'd have that handicap checked.
Yeah. Your handicap is handicapped.
I really did. I was playing really well that day. The next day, not so much.
Well, I think, Frank, that you took the advice of Arnold Palmer many years ago. He says, I know how to really improve every golfer's game. Get yourself a pencil with an eraser.
That's exactly what I... Well, I know some players that do that.
Yeah.
Dr. Bob, answer this question for me, because I have a friend that's currently suffering from it. Are the yips more physical or more mental?
The definition of yips, you know, came from Tommy Armour, you know, the Silver Scott years ago. And he said, you know, once you've got them, you'll always have them. And that's not true. And I have done some really seminal work with the Mayo Clinic, with Dr. Ainsley Smith, from Minnesota, Dr. Bob Warren from the Mayo Clinic here. He's the chief of neurosurgery up in Jacksonville, and Dr. Debbie Cruz many, many years ago, looking at yips. And there's two types of yips. We have type 1 and type 2. It's almost like diabetes. Type 1 is really what we call the focal dystonias, and they have about 2-3% of the population. Now, that is not just a psychological affliction. That is a neurophysiological condition. You have the tremors, the shakes, the what we call spasmodic disruptions when you're going through. The other type 2 is really what people have. It's an anxiety disorder, and they have sort of this anticipation anxiety of hitting the golf ball. And that's what happens. When people hit the golf ball, they stop at the golf ball, and the right hand or left hand or dominant hand comes over. And that's why a lot of players use, you know, left hand low or their claw or whatever, because they want to take both hands, that very symmetrical, out of it, and they want to make it very asymmetrical, so they only have one lever, one side, you know, dictating, you know, the direction and distance of the shot. So most yips, when people say, I've got the yips, you don't have the yips. And the first thing I tell people is, I will diagnose them, and I will say, you do not have the yips. What you do have is a severe and disoriented affliction called the fear of missing, all right? And you have missed enough.
I'm afflicted, Dr. Bob. Cure me.
Okay.
He's afflicted.
You got any serpents around here?
Let's go straight to the question then that has to be asked.
Yes.
Jordan Spieth.
Jordan Spieth.
Let's go to Jordan Spieth and his putting issues. Now, we talked about this, Bob Bupka, before, that if, and you made the statement on the show, if I recall correctly, that you cannot live life on the PGA Tour making 20 and 25 footers all the time. You've got to make the short ones.
No, you can't. And I know that some instructors have come out and have actually, you know, sort of wanted to label Jordan with that. And I would say there's nothing further from the truth. I think every player who plays on the tour or plays golf long enough has sort of what I call repetitive overuse type of afflictions. They could be medial epicondylitis or lateral epicondylitis, golfers or tennis elbow. But I think we also have repetitive afflictions of the brain, of the nervous system. And everyone goes through a little period, maybe a little slump, of actually poor putting, poor chipping, poor driving. And it's really interesting that, you know, the social media, the press, and all the pundits say, oh, this guy, he's got some problems. He's got the yips. He's got this. And until we really actually see it and look at it from a long-term perspective, I wouldn't ever put a label of that on somebody. What he's going through right now, I think he'll probably get through it. And what happens is, you know, when people say, gosh, what's going on? You made everything. What's wrong with you? They did the same thing, and Bob Bupka will actually attest to this. They did the same thing to Tom Watson. When he actually was so aggressive his whole career, hitting three-footers, four-footers, past the hole, he would miss some comebackers, which he never missed before. Same thing happened to Arnold and every aggressive putter. People go, gosh, what's wrong with you? I thought you were good. You used to make everything. And now that little seed of doubt, and doubt is always our biggest performance interference. If we could actually eliminate the doubt and just go back to our own natural process and just hit it. And I'll tell you what, if you think about the best putters in the world, what do they usually say? In Ben Crenshaw's book, if you ever talked to Ben, he'll say, I just used to get my ball online. I'd see it rolling up to the hole. And if it wanted to go in the hole, great. If it wanted to hang outside the hole, hey, just let it hang out. Brad Faxon's always said, I putt my best when I'm really not wanting to actually make it too bad. So the difference between wanting to really putt great and just, you know, wanting it too much, it's a very thin curtain. And that's why we always talk about this carefree confidence. You need to step up there and almost have this innocent, childlike mind. It's the quiet mind. That's really what I'm trying to teach people. It's a very innocent mind. You see the putt, you roll it up, and it goes right into the hole.
Our minds are not quiet today. They don't have the opportunity to quiet down because of all of the activity in front of us with the cell phones and the iPads. And
alligators.
Alligators coming by the booth. But they don't. And I find myself at night, guys, I'll lay down in bed, especially at shows and having to do the show the next morning. And, Bob, I don't know if you go through this. You're so experienced at this. I'm not as experienced. But I can't go to sleep because I'm thinking, okay, on the show tomorrow I need to do this and this and this. I've gotten to where I write things down, note to self type things.
Right.
Not put it on the iPad. I write it down in longhand. And then I can finally go to sleep.
Here's the big key. We have become a nation of people that just revel and we almost glorify multitasking. But the problem is we've made a whole nation of ADD people. And they're multitasking, and they're doing a lot of tasks, very average. I mean, they're not doing them well. What we need to get back is prioritizing and doing monotasking. I'm doing one thing, and I'm going to do it well. I mean, Kentucky Fried Chicken had that philosophy. We do one thing, we fry chicken, and we're going to fry chicken. When they got away from that is when they actually sort of lost, you know, some of their cachet. Well, so when we do monotasking and putting, it's that this is what I'm looking at. Here's my target. Here's my task. Here we go. Boom. I'm just in this moment. So golfers, the best golfers in the world, Jack Nicklaus, Tiger Woods, Annika Sorenstam, they were great monotaskers. That is, when it was time to perform, the priority was this shot and only this shot. And that's really, you know, what, you know, we're trying to help people with.
We're listening to Dr. Bob Winters give us his insights into monotasking and too many multitasks. And I think they used to call that back in our day, as a kid growing up, jack of all trades and master of none.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Doing a lot of things in an average way and very few successfully.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. We, you know, we always talk about, you know, what is a cluttered mind, an overactive mind. Is that when people, you know, start to play golf and they have all these different things, I mean, people say, you're a mental coach, right? Yes, but the game of golf is mental, physical, emotional, visceral, but mostly it's compartmental. You have to be able to compartmentalize and disconnect from all the distractions and prioritize in the moment on the task. So being compartmental coach sometimes is a moniker I like to use as well.
Great. Dr. Bob, thank you so much for taking the time to join us. One thing I want to say before you get out of here is it was my pleasure that day, a bunch of years ago, meeting you in the parking lot over at your golf academy with David Ledbetter, when we were just happened to do the show there, and after that we struck up a friendship. And you're welcome on this show. Anytime you have something to say and want to say it, call me. Don't be shy. And say, hey, Frank, can I come on? And we'd love to have you. We're honored to have you as a guest.
Well, I'll tell you what. You know, it's pretty nice to be up here. There's a pretty distinguished speaker's dais up here. Well,
you're doing all the talking.
Well, you know, here's what I said. I want to say about Brendan. People said, can I cure him? And I said,
no.
I'll tell you what.
No.
I can cure a ham, but I cannot cure you, Brendan. That's it.
Dr. Bob, thanks so much.
Right, thank
Bob
you.
Bupka is going to stick with us. We're going to bring up some more folks on this show today. So don't go anywhere. You're listening to Golf Talk America on PGAtour.com. There's the music. That's the music from Tin Cup that Brendan finally figured out yesterday after all these years of listening to it. Frank Bassett at the PGA Merchandise Show, the 2019 edition. We're here on the radio stage with Mr. Bob Bupka from the Grill Room. Thank you, Bob, for being with us.
My pleasure.
Don't take a drink yet. No. I was trying to stop him from taking a drink of water. Brendan Sweeney from the French Lick Resort. I must say that Golf Talk America is sponsored by the French Lick Resort and proudly sponsored by Club Corp, the leader in private clubs. Go to clubcorp.com for more information. But yesterday, I received an email from a new friend of mine for the past 5-6 years ago, whatever, that I met out in Tucson, Arizona, with Hunter PR, and that's Mr. Ed Viega, who has become a good buddy over the years. And he drugged me over to this booth. He said, I want you to meet this guy. You need to talk to him. I said, oh, okay, great, I'll do it. He does some golf travel and some groups and things like that. And I went over, and the first thing that happens is a meeting, very dynamic man, and he says, would you like a McAllen? And I said, I think I love this person. I'm going to hang out with him. So we stood there a while, and he has John O'Hurley's wife that
Lisa.
Came from the Golf Channel, Lisa, that works for him. And then O'Hurley shows up. So we had a great afternoon. Bud Garmany, thank you, pal.
Hey, Frank, great to be here. Thanks
Good
for having
to have
us.
You. How you doing?
I'm doing awesome. It's been an amazing week so far.
How's the show?
Amazing.
Your booth's amazing. Beautiful.
Well, that's you just mentioned Lisa O'Hurley. That was her vision, and you know, we've got a huge globe overhanging that's hanging from the ceiling, and as we like to tell people, we've got the world by the string.
Yeah, on a downhill pull?
On a downhill pull, my friend.
There you go. Now, we have something in common, and let's get this out of the way right now.
McAllen?
No, we don't.
We do have that in common.
We do. Yes, we do.
Jan Stevenson
Nashville, Tennessee. Nashville, Tennessee.
Nashville, Tennessee. You know, I got to tell you, I was thinking about that as I was walking over here. In the 9 years plus since we started Garmany Golf, I don't think I've had the chance to sit down and tell our story to a fellow Nashvillian. So that was really cool.
That was really cool yesterday. We talked about where you played golf and where you grew up. And the area East Nashville is the hottest, most expensive area in Nashville to live in. It's past Belle Meade in square footage property values.
You know what's amazing about that? I don't get home as much as I should. If my mom happens to hear this, she'll echo that as well. But I got to tell you, I grew up in East Nashville. I was on a podcast last week, and the guy said, well, did you play golf, you know, growing up? And I said, no, I played a lot of sports, but I grew up in East Nashville, which was a rough neighborhood. In my neighborhood, if you wore golf clothes, you got beat up. So I didn't play golf growing up. I came to it in my 20s. But, yeah, I've heard East Nashville's had a renaissance of sorts, and I'm looking forward to getting back and seeing it.
Go to Margo's.
Margo's.
Go to Margo's place when you get there.
Do they have McAllen there?
Yes, they do.
Let's go.
Let's go. I'm ready. Okay, show's over. We're out of here. So, Bud, tell us, I know you were in the energy business.
I was.
Prior.
Yep.
But tell us your pathway to where you are now.
Well, I'll make it as condensed as I can, but it's kind of a fun story. I was in the solar energy business for 14 years in Northern California, and my two partners bought me out in 2008, and I knew I was going to have to go back to work at some point, but I took a year off, and I just wanted to kind of tick some boxes. I'd never been to Scotland, and as I mentioned earlier, I took up golf in my early 20s, and I've always been fascinated. I'm a curious kind of guy, and I knew that Scotland was the home of golf, and I wanted to experience that. So I booked myself a 2-week round-trip ticket, suitcase, a couple of books, and a set of golf clubs. Had no agenda, didn't know where I was going from day to day. And with about 5 days to go in that 2 weeks, if you've ever been to St. Andrews, I mean, those of you who have been, it's a magical place. It's the soul of the game. And I'll never forget it. It was in the middle of May, and beautiful Friday afternoon, I stood on that first tee with the R&A at my back, staring down the first hole of the old course, and I had an epiphany. And I knew whatever I was going to do with the rest of my life, it was going to have something to do with golf. So I finished up that 5 days in St. Andrews, and I came back, and I sat in, at the time I was living in Santa Cruz, California, a little beach town. I sat with a good buddy of mine, Tim Lauselot. Timmy played on the PGA Tour for 10 years, and he was a club pro now. And over about 12 beers or so, we went through all the different possibilities for Bud to get into the golf world, and I kept saying no, 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 no. And finally, on about that 10th beer, Timmy said, "Have you thought about golf travel?" And I said, "Well, what's that?" He said, "Well, you put together groups and you send them around the world, and sometimes you even get to go with them." And I said, "You get paid for that." So 3 months later, we started Garmany Golf. And in 2009, worst year in the history of the world to start a luxury golf travel business, but we didn't know any better, and we were just excited and passionate about it. And here we sit 9-plus years later, and we've gone all over the world. We've got relationships all over the world. We've got an amazing team of people, Lisa O'Hurley. We just hired a new senior vice president of sales, Bill Hogan. Bill has played golf in 58 countries. I can't name 58 countries. In fact, I don't even know if I knew there were 58 countries.
Well, our education is Tennessee and
Mississippi. Well, that's true. So, that's true. At that time, Tennessee, enough said. but, yeah, so we've got an amazing team of people, and we've had some amazing fortune, some great clubs that have traveled with us all over the world. We always tell people, if you travel with Garmany Golf once, we're going to make it impossible for you to travel with anybody else.
That's a great great statement to make out there.
Yeah.
Now, you and Bob have some friends in common. What was that conversation about?
Well, it's so funny. I was talking to Bob just now. And so Alan Hopkins, a good friend of mine, I live at Sherwood Country Club out there in Southern California now. And Alan Hopkins is not only an investor, but he's an advisor of ours. And I'm sitting here with Bob, and he's telling me about Alan. I was talking to Janice out there as well. And I guess, Alan, you guys had dinner with Alan on Monday night?
Yeah, we did. And, of course, quickly got around to Sherwood, and I had been going out there quite a bit for Tiger's tournament.
Of course,
and,
sure.
And really fell in love with the place. I think it's absolutely incredible, and Alan, by the end of the night, insisted, that I have to come out there, have to play. But I got a kick out of the fact that Alan was telling us that he played a lot of golf with Bruce Jenner, and now he plays a lot of golf with Caitlyn Jenner. And he says okay. He liked it playing with Bruce because he had to use the men's tees. Caitlin now gets to use the ladies'
tees. That's unfair.
That's not fair.
Wouldn't that be a great Snickers commercial? You're feeling kind of grumpy.
No, let's don't even go down that road.
So I got to tell you, I had a great conversation with Caitlin last week, and she is a wonderful person. It's always great talking to Caitlin about some of Bruce's accomplishments. But Sherwood's quite a unique environment out there, and that's just the tip of the iceberg.
It's a special place.
It is. It's an incredibly special place. You're walking into Dustin Johnson or Wayne Gretzky and, a lot of different actors and Rock and Roll Hall of Famers. It's always it's never boring there at Sherwood.
Let's talk about some of your trips.
Absolutely.
See, Northern Ireland, as you get Ireland, Scotland, Bend, Oregon. I was out there this summer. That was a great place.
Great spot.
You got to come out to our place and check it out.
Would love to. I've heard a lot about French Lick. Obviously seen it on TV. I've got some friends that have been there. But, Brendan, I hope you don't mind, but I'm going to correct you. Garmany Golf doesn't do trips. We create experiences.
Oh, I'm sorry about that.
That's okay. We tell our teammates that you have to put a dollar in the swear jar, because if you say trips around our offices, that's a swear word. But I'll forgive you since you're not officially a teammate yet. I like it. Let me process that credit card for the swear jar there.
There you go.
There you go.
Well,
just
cool.
Go put a couple of thousand on that thing.
I'm actually heading over to France. My daughter is attending management school in Paris. So wow. We're heading over in March, and I was talking to a couple of guys at the France booth, but I'll just give you a buzz to go on an experience.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I spent 10 days in France last year, and it was amazing. We went all the way from Cannes to Paris to Normandy. We did the D-Day invasion tour. Oh, if you get a chance, cool. You got to do that. Yeah. It's an incredibly emotional and just a really unbelievable experience.
You know, the fascinating thing that you said about St. Andrews, and all of our listeners that love the sport of golf, and I can't urge people that love this sport and play this sport, I can't urge them enough to once go to Scotland, go to St. Andrews, and experience it. And I've said I have brought people to St. Andrews that absolutely hate golf. They detest golf. They get to St. Andrews, and they love the place. I mean, it's such a magical place, St. Andrews.
Bob, you're absolutely right. Magical is the right word. It's interesting because, you know, you meet some Scots, and while some of them may not play golf, which is hard to believe, they understand that golf is a part of their fiber. It's in their DNA. It's the, and St. Andrews in particular, all of Scotland, but St. Andrews is the soul of the game. Magical is the right word.
Yeah, absolutely.
My classic story at St. Andrews, doing the 2005 Open Championship, I'm in the commentary box above the 18th green as three former European Tour players and myself, and we're calling the action off monitors, you know, but it's radio, so people think that, you know, we're actually out on the golf course. And I had been told prior that they want me to do Jack Nicklaus when he finishes, but I was currently doing Tiger Woods out on the golf course. And without saying anything to my broadcast partners, I go, oh, ah, oh. And the lead guy said, what's the matter, Bob? I said, spectator, just stepped on my foot. Somebody's going to have to take over. And so then I leave the commentary box. I go down below. I'm waiting for Jack to finish. And all of a sudden, I see an R&A guy, full uniform, heading straight towards me. And I'm starting to get nervous. And he comes up and he says, Bob, is your foot feeling any better?
Good Lord. Bud Garmany, we appreciate you stopping by and doing a brief stint. Don't be a stranger. Why don't you come on and we'll talk about your next experience that you're going to have.
Well done, Frank. Well done, Frank.
What booth are we at?
We're at 3479.
We'll
just, all you got to do is look for the globe hanging from the ceiling.
It's 3479.
Great, easy to find.
Hey, congratulations on your success. And brethren from Nashville, we'll get together and play some golf. And
that's it.
McAllen.
Margo's for some McAllen.
Margo, be a great place.
Thanks so much for having us, guys.
Thanks, buddy. You're listening to Golf Talk America on PGAtour.com. When we come back, Alex Triejo from Flight Scope and Major Ed Polito is going to join us. Say it, Ed. Say it. Do it now. There it is. There it is. Thanks, everybody. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Okay, another quick break. We're back. Frank Bassett joining you from the 2019 edition of the PGA Merchandise Show. We are live on the radio stage with Mr. Bob Bupka from the Grill Room, I should say. Thank you, Bob.
Pleasure to be here. Great guest.
Oh, yeah.
Brendan None better Sweeney, than one next to me right now.
That guest there. Brendan Sweeney from the French Lick Resort.
Hoorah!
But who Bob is talking about is, do it.
Major Ed, hoorah! What a great day to be in America.
There he is, Major
All
Ed
right,
Polito. Hey,
man, I'm coming in hot.
Hey, buddy, it's good, always good to see you.
Good to see you, man. You guys are
call
smiling.
You friend.
Yes, I love you guys.
Time. Having a good time
great
here.
Great party last night, too, man. I'm telling
now,
you
well,
what.
That was a tribute. That wasn't really Journey, so, was it?
Well, everybody was asking me that. I'm like, I guess they're Journey tonight. I'm like,
do they play anything besides Journey?
No, it's a Journey tribute band. I mean, the guys look like Journey in the day. If you look at the guys today that were in Journey, they don't look that young.
It's sort of like when you're in Blood, Sweat, and Tears.
Yeah.
I look old now. I had hair down to my shoulders and a goatee and all that.
Well, I just turned 50 years old, and I'm like thinking to myself, yeah, you're right. That was kind of my era, and seeing them play last night and then, you know, the tribute to the Folds of Honor. And we did a little different venue, the Top Golf. And
it was
so
fun.
You know what? At the end of the day, everybody had a great time, and that's what it's all about.
Yeah, Sweeney hit a few shots.
Yeah, Sweeney.
Hey, buddy.
Put two people in the hospital. That's okay, though.
I know. Okay. Well, my other friend over here, he's another hospital casualty. Can we find any more casualties from last night?
You're looking at two of them up here.
Absolutely. And tell us this week, what the PGA Show, what does that mean to the Folds of Honor, the relationships that you build and develop here? We've known each other for 11 years so far.
Yeah, we have. And we met in Vegas years ago. And the Fold of Honor, just for those people to know, we give scholarships to the families fallen, wounded, and disabled. I have a 17-year-old getting ready to go to the University of Oklahoma, so it really means a lot to me and the understanding behind it. And then this week here at the PGA Show, our big emphasis is Patriot Golf Day. Our great team is here. They're running the booth. The great thing about me is I get to run around and just shake everybody's hands. And I guess I'm something now or something.
You are something.
You are.
You're a pretty big deal, Mr. Purple Heart recipient.
Well, thank you so much. But, you know, I just had the greatest of time. And then the good thing about this show is that you get to see all your friends, the wonderful Patriots that are out here like you all. And you know what? Your supporters as well. And that, to me, means a lot.
But you, not only golf is Dan Rooney, major captain.
Yeah,
major Dan Rooney. Yeah.
Don't demote him.
Sorry, sir. But not only golf, but now you're in auto racing.
Oh yeah,
tell us about your experience.
Okay, so I'm at Texas Motor Speedway, and they're like, hey, you're going to be the grand marshal, and they said, hey, you're going to be able to tell the drivers to start their engine. So here's what I did. I'm like, and I didn't just say drivers like that. I said, you know what? What a great day to be an American. And then they get up and freaking 100,000 plus stand up. And then what I said, you know what? Drivers, start your engines. And then I went, hoorah. And it's freaking smoke and, fire comes out from the back.
I saw it.
It was
really cool.
So anyways, I'm going to be on some of those garage shows with the cars and stuff.
Oh, yeah, Monkey?
Yeah, and they're going to have me doing a startup, I guess. So I don't know. I had to sign a release.
How good is that?
Yeah.
There you go. Major
Ed
Polito is with us from the Folds of Honor. Tell us what's next.
Well, what's next is we're going to go ahead and kick off Patriot Golf Day, and about $8 million is our goal for this year to raise. And then we did we're actually close to 21,000 scholarships overall in 11 years.
Wow, that's incredible.
$100 million. And then I see my good friend Tammy Beauclair with Mike Alday's Communications. And she's one of our early believers in what we did, just like all of you here. And I'm going to tell you something. History, to me, is the most powerful thing in this nation. We must preserve it. And in the golf industry, it truly holds true because the historical aspect of this game is so powerful, and that to me is what drives me each and every day.
Well, we're honored to have two veterans on the stage with us. Bob Bupka,
yeah,
who's a veteran Air Force, I believe. Bob, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. Proudest. I was just thinking the other day, I'm so happy that I joined the armed forces. I wasn't drafted or anything. It was my own choice, and in my case, it had a powerful impact on my life, but just being able to serve this country was a great thrill. And if there are any young guys listening, and I'm sure Major would agree with me.
Agree.
If you're 18, 19, 20, 25, consider the armed forces. It'll change your life, but it'll change it for the better.
Yeah, and then right here, I want to give a big shout-out to my good friend Jay. He's 45th in the world in the long drive, and then he also hit by a bomb as well, and has a Purple Heart, and he was a Marine though, so those Marines are like tough as nails.
They're tough.
Last night he was at the hospital, and he's like, "Hey, you got to get this Marine out of this hospital."
What?
He fell.
He fell last night.
Yeah, look at him. He's back. He said he can't feel his
what
legs. I said, "I'll get you a wheelchair."
Major Polito.
Or a prosthetic. No,
thank you for stopping by. Let's get you back on the show when we can spend more time.
Okay.
Get you to call in and have a little fun, and let's go play some golf together.
I love you.
All right, brother. Love you, pal. Major Polito.
All right. Hoorah!
We're going to bring up a good friend of ours now who is a great sponsor of Golf Talk America, one of the sponsors, not the big sponsor that's going to come on. But Alex Triejo is going to join us if he can get that headset on. Mr. Sweeney, would you help Mr. Triejo get that headset on? Alex, jump up here and get a headset. No, not Major Ed, Alex.
Oh, him.
Alex, yes. Okay, there's the picture. We're doing pictures. Let's take a quick break while we do this swap over. You're listening to Golf Talk America, brought to you by Club Corp on PGAtour.com. We're back, everybody. Golf Talk America, live from the PGA Merchandise Show, the 2019 edition from the radio stage. And with Bob Bupka and Brendan Sweeney joining me, now joining us, is a sponsor of Golf Talk America and somebody we really, really like. He has a new product in his hand that I had not seen until this show.
I know where that's
going. And it's Alex Triejo with Flight Scope. Hey, buddy. What's up? Hey, oh, let's turn your mic up. That'd be a better thing. There you go.
How you doing?
Good, man. How are you?
I'm doing great.
Good to see you.
Yeah.
Been spending a lot of time with Mr. DeChambeau out on the road, I think, and having a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Hey, you guys, let's get right to it. I mean, I have the tour eye that you sent me. Is it tour?
XI Tour,
okay. And it's given me some really good advice about quitting the game. So I've seen my clubhead speed, and it's not pretty. But y'all have a new product, and let's go right to it, the FlightScope Mevo.
Yeah, so the FlightScope Mevo is our consumer product. It's a tracking radar. And what we do is we basically gather the initial flight conditions, and then we run a ballistic model to give you your carry distance, club speed, ball speed, smash factor, spin rate, vertical launch angle, height, and time. And then we also take video from your iPhone, and we correlate that data right to the video. So you have video and data all in for the price of $500.
That little product is $500.
Wow.
Yes.
That little bitty thing does all that
for
$500.
$500. Show so special, $450.
Wow.
There you go. It's show special.
We want the Golf Talk America special.
I already have that one, and you can't have it, okay?
You got a lot of things, right?
But the Mevo really is a neat product. And I know Tim Matthews is about to die for the Mevo, so we'll have to get him one to let him play with it. But now you guys are also, are you developing some more applications for Mevo?
Yeah, so we're going to be developing some applications for skills assessments and being able to improve on your game using Mevo. But that's in the pipeline, that's coming. But as it is right now, it does all the parameters that we mentioned, the video, and just gives you good baselines and understanding of what you're doing with your golf swing so you can go attack the golf course.
Is it easy to use?
Very easy. Bluetooth connection takes
2 seconds.
2 seconds.
Yeah, that's the main thing.
Well, their tour product is very easy to use.
Right.
And they tell us very quickly in our short time that we have together, the background of the founding of FlightScope.
Yeah, so in 1989, our inventor and founder, Henry Johnson, used radar to track projectiles in defense. And so from there, he went to cricket, tennis, golf, baseball. Still to this day, we still provide 30 countries in the world with defense tracking radars. As a matter of fact, in a couple weeks, I'll be in Cape Canaveral. We're going to be tracking some rockets. And
how cool is that?
Yeah, so that's
Brendan,
what we do.
You cannot attend.
Why?
It's secure.
I, from my front yard, I can see the rockets going. It's cool.
Yeah, so that's how it kind of started, and we use some of those defense techniques in our golf technology.
Interesting stuff. I mean, I'm so thrilled with the product that I have and I'm using. And it is, if you're not using that type of product, you're missing out on improving your game. You really are. Because you can take that data and give it to your pro. He can give you some pointers. You can go work on it, take the data, and let him analyze it, or you analyze it yourself.
It's the MRI of the golf swing.
Yeah, it truly is. That's a great way to put it. Bob? You need one of those.
I definitely do with my game right now. But, anything that is put out there for the consumer to be able to improve how they play, I know in advance, you know in advance, when you play better, you're going to enjoy it more. When you enjoy it more, you play more. When you play more, you play better.
Right.
I mean, that's just how it goes. When you start playing golf and you're not playing well, then you play less, and that's not what we want. So what you're saying is FlightScope is the key. Can they get that online, order it online?
FlightScopeMevo.com.
FlightScopeMevo, M-E-V-O.com.
M-E-V-O.
And they can get it.
Easy enough.
Yeah.
We'll see. Where are you going to be next, Alex, outside of Cape Canaveral? What tournament?
Probably Florida Swing. I'll be back on the road with Bryson, and then we'll go from there.
Okay, we'll see at the Players for sure.
Yeah,
Players Championship and
Augusta maybe.
We'll definitely see each other in Augusta for sure. Come to the house and hang out with us some. Have some fun.
Sure. How was the demo day for you guys?
It was great. I mean, we had good crowds, and we were selling some units, and just being able to show people what we do and what we bring to the table.
Perfect. Awesome. Well, we appreciate everything that you do for the golf world and FlightScope.
Yeah. Thanks so much. Alex Trejo from FlightScope. We'll
see you
soon out on the road. We'll be right back with a gentleman that we are very, very happy to have on this show and happy to be part of their organization, Mr. David Pillsbury, the CEO of Club Corp. You're listening to Golf Talk America on PGA Tour Radio and PGAtour.com. Don't go anywhere. Hey, everybody. We're back having a little fun here at the PGA Merchandise Show. And we are brought to you by Club Corp, the leader in private clubs. Go to clubcorp.com for more information. And the man joining us right now is the CEO of Club Corp, Mr. David Pillsbury. How are you, sir?
I'm great. It's great to be here. Man, what a show. They said 10 miles of exhibits, right?
It's crazy.
People say golf is slowing down. Are you kidding me?
I don't think so.
It's off the charts.
You guys at Club Corp, I mean, you came across, you were at the tour at one time, and you knew about us because you were probably one of the guys who said, get those guys off the air. They're ruining our brand.
I loved you guys from day one.
We had a lot of fun. But now you're at Club Corp as their CEO, and you guys are turning what the old, I'm 45 years old, join a club, play golf with your buddies event into a true family event, and doing a lot just to change the face of club membership.
Yeah, it's an exciting time in the club business. Interest in the sport has never been higher, and people want to belong to a community. They want to do things together. And that's what happens at Club Corp. And it's obviously been happening for a long time in golf, but it happens in fitness, it happens in tennis, it happens in aquatics, it happens in all the different dimensions of a country club environment. And what we're doing is we're pulling people together and creating a great community environment at all of our country clubs and our city clubs. And most recently, by the way, yesterday we just launched Big Shots Golf.
Tell us about Big Shots, because this is a home run. It's a true home run for the family. It can be as serious as you want it to be or as gamey as you want it to be.
That's exactly right. I mean, this really takes community to another level and enables people from all walks of life to enjoy golf in a gaming environment. And the games were even designed specifically to create a fun, enjoyable environment for, you know, a young child competing against his or her father or mother, so that immediately, it's called pinballs, the game, and you know, like a pinball machine, when you pull it, you release the little device and the ball goes through the pinball machine and bounces around, bells are going off and you're scoring points. And that's fun, and it's not about skill. So the first game creates excitement and fun from the first shot that new golfer hits, and then they're hooked.
It's like chocolate.
It's like chocolate, and that's the idea. It's exactly what happens. I mean, right east of us over at Vero Beach, we have our first Big Shots facility, and it's just incredible what happens there. And you see it at some of the other golf entertainment venues. It's really been fantastic for golf because it's bringing people in a low-friction environment to have fun quickly, sure, so that they can begin to experience how wonderful golf is as a game and a sport.
And Club Corp, if for those listeners who don't know, you should know, if you want to go to a Club Corp property, you can become a member for a day and experience that. We talk about that all the time on our show. If you join, or you should, as you should, a Club Corp property, you become, and some of their programs, a member of all those clubs. So you can travel the country, and I'll let you speak to that a little more than I can. So.
Well, that's exactly right. I mean, we have, you know, more than half our members belong to our one program, which allows you to have access to clubs across the United States,
right,
city clubs and country clubs, 208 different places you can access. And when you go there, you're treated like it's your club.
Yes.
We know you're coming. We know your name. We properly welcome you, and you have the same kind of wonderful experience at the club you're visiting that you have at your home club. And that's really what makes us unique, is we have the scale, unlike anyone else in the business, to offer that to our members.
And some of your clubs, and of course my club is Bluegrass Yacht and Country Club in Nashville, Tennessee. Great facility, wonderful club. Been there a long time. You guys took it over years back. You've given them latitude to do some things. Like, well, okay, we're going to open the club on Monday night because there's a big game on TV, and invite all the club families in and do the spread and do the food. I mean, it's not like your father's or your grandfather's country club environment anymore. It's enhanced from that, in my opinion.
Well, I mean, we're trying to become more relevant to the family, and we compete with the home. So we want you to come to the club to watch the game as opposed to stand at home. So everything we have, our Club Life app that we just launched. So I've got an app on my phone. I can open it up. I can make my dinner reservations. I can make my tee times. And there's a lot more coming on the app, which is about bringing the club experience to the consumer, to the member on their phone. So everything you could do at your club, you can do on your phone.
Yeah, that's incredible.
And that's really about deepening that relationship with our member and getting them to use the club more often.
And we haven't talked enough about the city clubs for meetings. You fly into a city, you have to meet with a group.
Citrus Club here in downtown
Citrus
Orlando.
Citrus Club in downtown Orlando. Yep. Buckhead Club in Atlanta. Nashville City Club in Nashville. Great facilities if you're not going to the club for a business meeting in the downtown areas around the country. So you guys are 300 strong all in all, correct?
No, it's 208 all in all, but
208,
the City
okay.
Club's 42, but the Citrus Club, I'm glad you mentioned that, Brandon, because we had dinner there night before last with a group, and it was absolutely five-star, fabulous, yeah. Just amazing experience.
Tricky parking lot, though.
You're right. But as I was leaving, I was approached by three different sets of members, all from other clubs across the country.
Oh, no kidding.
Who were at the Citrus Club having dinner because they're part of the One program.
Yeah, that's great.
And they
had
this amazing evening, and it's really special. The city clubs are really wonderful. As America re-urbanizes, as people move back to the cities, these city clubs have become more and more relevant to people's lives.
Now, let's go back to Big Shots also for a moment. You did at Brookhaven Country Club in Dallas, I think was probably your first endeavor into hitting bays a la Topgolf, but you they're heated, they're covered, you can go take the family.
Cocktails.
Well, cocktails, absolutely.
Not with the kids, but you know.
You've been around my kids, cocktails.
I have been around your kids, cocktails. But now, Big Shots will be in some clubs, but do you franchise any of this out to other clubs?
Yes. So you're talking about Drive Zone at Brookhaven, which is really cool.
Drive Zone, yes.
Eight bays. Actually uses Topgolf technology today. We'll be changing that out, putting in the Big Shots technology. Big Shots is a very unique model. Big Shots is a franchise model. So if I'm an individual that loves the game, that has the resources, has access to a location, I can become a Big Shots franchisee and build a Big Shots location in my city.
Right.
And experience the magic of watching my community come to life within this beautiful entertainment venue. And the way the franchise model works is very straightforward. It's $125,000 franchise fee that could go up depending upon the size of the territory you want to buy. Let's say you want to do three of them. That number will go up. You pay an 8% royalty to Big Shots and a 2% marketing contribution. And it costs you between $8.5 and $12 million, depending upon the size of the Big Shots facility you're building, to be in business. And so we think, and it's been validated here at the show, that there are a lot of folks, whether they're individuals or they're small groups or they're little companies, that are interested in getting into this space, and now they have that opportunity thanks to Big Shots Golf.
That's super.
And it's franchisebigshotsgolf.com, and you can learn all about it.
I think there's a place in Indiana that might want to do that, that's sitting next to you.
I like it.
Absolutely.
And by the way, we like the secondary markets, the underserved markets, like Vero Beach.
Sure.
Where there's not a lot to do. And so Dr. Mallon, who is the owner and operator at Vero Beach, he wanted to see his community have something special to experience at Vero Beach. That was his, and he loves golf. He's a plus two. He's an eye surgeon, and he's the first owner and operator of a Big Shots location.
Vero's going to be busy soon.
Now, how cool is that? It's on fire now.
It is.
It's right off of US 1.
It's crazy.
And he's a plus two.
He's a plus two.
He's not spending enough time in the
operating
room.
Not eye surgery. Oh, one day a week. Wednesdays, eye surgery day.
That's it.
Wednesday, right?
The rest of it's reverse of what it used to be in golf.
Shots. Yeah, that's right. I don't,
how's your game?
It's improving. Well, it's actually probably not improving because I'm not playing enough. But Big Shots is going to give me that opportunity because we're going to put a Big Shots bay in the home office, so you'll find me in there between meetings.
Well, I can't wait to get over there and meet the rest of your crew. Meg Tolson, who put us together and got us going, we thank you for your sponsorship of this show and your support of this show, and we certainly value that relationship.
Well, thank you guys. Appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, David, good luck. Have a great show. Safe travels, my man.
When we come back, Keith Bank from Club Champion will be joining us, and we'll talk to Keith a little bit. He's been on the show a few times before. Thanks to David Pillsbury and Meg Tolson and the Club Corp crew. We can't say enough about Club Corp. Go to clubcorp.com for more information and become a member soon.
It's a great facility.
It is. Great place. Bob Bupka, thank you for being with us today and helping us out.
Well, it's a pleasure and really excited about Big Shots Golf.
It's cool, isn't it?
Yeah, because I envision it as, you know, people that are nervous about going to a golf course, that they don't know, you know, what the experience is like. They can come get a little taste of it. Find out what's going on. They'll feel a lot more comfortable when they make their first visit to a golf course. And, hey, anything to grow this wonderful game. You know,
you got
that's
that right.
been our mission for a long, long time.
Well, you know, what's neat about this, Bob, I think, is Big Shots can get you, you know, it takes the intimidation factor away. So now you're getting into the game.
Right.
Now, the next step is to really play the game, and to play that game, you need to get fitted. And if you're
going
to go get fitted, then you need to talk to the man that's to your left, who is the CEO of Club Champion Golf, Mr. and our friend, Mr. Keith Bank. How are you, sir?
How are you?
Good.
Nice to be with you.
Good to see you. You're becoming a regular on the show.
I am. It's you're a just, side job for me.
Hey, me too.
It's all good. It's all good.
We're going to start sending Jay Hubbard some invoices now.
Yeah, I think so. You know, Kevin Frisch, who does PR for us, just was fitted. And Kevin's a stick. He's about a plus one?
Plus one, yeah.
Plus one. And he's added 12 yards to his drive, and it's straighter. And that's going to drop him further on the plus side, I think. And he attributed it to Club Champion.
And he got fitted at your Chicago store.
Yeah, Chicago store.
Okay,
yeah.
Great.
So what's going on with Bob?
Well, I was just going to say, you know what's amazing? Bowlers, for years, they always all showed up. They had their own bowling ball. They would never think of going to the rack and taking a ball. But yet golfers would walk into a pro shop and take a set of clubs off the rack and hope that they worked for them.
Right.
I mean, club fitting is done right is making the game so much easier for everybody.
It is, and people think you have to be a certain skill level to get fit, and it's actually the opposite. We can do more for high handicappers than we can for low handicappers because their misses tend to be much further. If we can bring their misses from going out of bounds or in the water to in the rough, or they can take 5-10 shots off their scores as opposed to a scratch who, you know, it's gonna help them, but it's not gonna do what we can do to a mid-high handicapper.
For some players like Brendan Sweeney, you just need to give them an eraser and let them just go and forget it, right? No, I'm kidding, Brendan. I just had to stick you he had a terrible round the other day. Just a terrible round.
Because I was riding with Frank.
That's what it was.
Probably one over par.
Exactly.
Pretty much close to that. Keith, what's going on? You opened in Nashville this year. How many stores did you open
this
year?
We opened 32 this year, and by April we will have 62 stores from coast to coast.
Wow.
And by the end of the year, 75, and no end in sight.
And you're manufacturer agnostic.
We are Switzerland. We don't push any brand of head, shaft, grip, whatever. It's what's best for the customer and what performs in the bays. We offer 35,000 different hittable combinations of shafts and heads. And when a customer comes in, a full bag fitting is 3.5 to 4 hours. An iron or driver fitting is about 1.5 to 2 hours.
Wow.
And you might iterate through 10 different combinations of shaft and head until we dial in the exact right prescription for you in your swing. Everyone's swing is different.
It's like Arnold Palmer said, swing your own swing. And if you swing your own swing, you need to go get fitted to that swing.
Absolutely.
So it's Club Corps does a lot. They send a lot of people out your way.
They do.
Send a lot of people your way.
They're a great partner. We have a program that any pro that sends a customer our way gets a 10% referral fee on the total sale for the lifetime of that customer. And, you know, we don't like to be viewed as a threat. We don't teach. We don't sell shirts and sweaters. All we do is fit and sell golf clubs. We hand build every single club in our Chicago production facility, which we just are in the process of expanding to 15,000 square feet. We have 25 to 30 full-time club builders that we employ.
Good Lord.
And it's fun.
Now, your Nashville store, again, I've not been in yet, but I will make it a point to go. I'm going to go through
That'd
the
be
full
on
bag.
Galleria Boulevard.
Yes, I know.
Yes.
And I'm going to go through the full bag because I need to redo what I did actually 2 years ago with Titleist when I was playing their clubs. So I want to go in. I don't want to be fitted in my bag. I want to go to whatever works for me and just pull a Jason Duffner, I guess, Bob, is what it would be.
Well, we did an independent study a couple of years ago with Golf Digest, and we had people that had never been fit for clubs before, and they had to agree to buy whatever we recommended and then record their statistics over the next 10 rounds. And what we found across them, the average player, it's hard to believe, got 23 yards with their drive with 50% less dispersion. They got 13 yards with their irons with 50% less dispersion, and their handicaps came down 2.7 shots over the next 10 rounds. So that was, we were holding our breath waiting for the results of the study. We didn't know what
so
it was going to say.
It's a true study,
It was great.
That's pretty cool stuff. I don't want my handicap to go down, though. I want to stay right
not,
where it
not
is.
Not after last now. Week.
Not after last
Lisa
week. I had
Lund
a net
ball.
Zero this week on a par three. So that was kind of fun.
That's good.
That was
like
really
that.
Sweet.
So and players at every level can benefit, right? I mean, if you're a 20 handicapper, if you get the right clubs, you're going to play better. If you're a two handicapper and you get the right clubs, you're going to play better.
You know, it's not only that the clubs perform better, but you have more confidence when you feel like you're playing with the right equipment. But yes, we fit juniors and women and seniors and low handicaps, high handicaps. We you know, we believe every person should be fitted properly for equipment. There's no reason not to if you're going to enjoy the game more, shoot lower scores. It's worth it. People spend a fortune taking golf trips, buying apparel, belonging to clubs, doing all these things. And so for not that much of an incremental cost to be playing with the right equipment for several years, you amortize that over the rounds you play, it's nothing. So
are golf balls recommended?
We do a little bit of ball fitting. We actually believe ball fitting is best kind of on the short game. Almost all the good balls on the market perform relatively well. So we do ball fittings, but it's not a huge part of what we do. Putter fittings, though, is another issue. People don't realize putter is 40% of your strokes, and everybody says, I'm a good putter. I've been using this for 10 years. I always two-putt. But when we put them on Sam Putt Lab, which is the technology we use, and they're amazed what they learn about their stroke. And a lot of people, amazingly, even experienced golfers, don't even realize there's loft on a putter. They think it's a flat blade, and there's all different kinds of things you can do in terms of toe hang and offset and weighting and depending upon what type of stroke you have. Or you can get a stand-up putter.
Absolutely. The bloodline putter.
Yes.
Yeah. There you, so that, I was going to say that, Bob. I'm glad you brought that up. Putting is, you know, it's the most, to me, it's the most critical part of the game. I can play any golf course in the world in any condition, but if the greens aren't in good condition, I don't want to play it because putting is that important to me. I'm not a long ball hitter at all. I'm just not anymore. But I'm fairly accurate. But getting fitted to a putter, I think, is as crucial as getting fitted to a driver.
And it's very inexpensive. And the clubs, you don't have to have a custom shaft. You don't have to. You just need the proper head and weighting in the various variables that, you know, are right for, again, your stroke. Everybody has a different stroke. They come from outside in, inside to out, swing and gate, straight back and through, pop stroke. I mean, there's a million different ways that people putt.
Brent Snedeker.
You need the right equipment for the way you putt.
The after I'm fitted, I'm a new customer. I come in. I want to go through the whole bag. I'm buying my sticks from you guys based on your recommendations. What about tune-ups?
So we offer, for the life of your clubs, you can come in as many times as you want for loft and lie adjustments. If you're not happy with the performance, if they don't perform exactly the way they performed in the hitting bay, you come back and we make it right. We have what we call the perfect fit guarantee. So we want you to be happy, thrilled, recommend us to your friends and neighbors, and you know, we do a great job of making it right.
Well, you guys are on fire. I mean, you're absolutely on fire around the country.
How's life outside of Club Champion? How's the movie business treating you?
Movie business, the film is going to start playing on Golf Channel in September for the next 10 years.
What's the name of it?
It's called Tommy's Honor.
It's a great story of
old Tom Morris and young Tom Morris, the beginnings of the game of golf in Scotland in the mid to late 1800s. And very proud. We won a BAFTA award for Best Feature Film of the Year in Scotland, which is their version of the Oscar. So we were very happy about that. And I think it's going to expose a lot of people to the history of the game that they don't know anything about. And that was really my motivation for making it.
And it's not just if you're not a golfer, I would still say go watch it because it's a movie about humanity also and leadership and a father-son relationship.
Yeah, great familial stuff, a love story, tragedy, all kind of rolled into one. And you can't make this stuff up. It's all a true story. It all happened the way we depicted it on the screen.
But it was funny you told me, and I'm baiting you with this. I'll let you tell the story about you had to find a golf course that would replicate a course of that era, and everything was a little too manicured?
A little too manicured, and actually at the R&A and at the actual old course, you know, you see signs and you see cars going by, and you can't have that in the 1800s. So we actually built our own version of St. Andrews in a field, a former cow pasture, that we built two holes that, as we thought they looked in the day, and we actually hired a greenskeeper from St. Andrews, and I think it looks really realistic, especially there's a penultimate scene in the snow, which actually took place when young Tom Morris got sick. And You know, we had fake snow being blown in, and it looks very realistic. And
it was like a movie.
It's like a 60-degree day, and everyone's shivering and acting like they're really cold. It's, you know, movie magic.
It's on my shelf with the rest of my books, as a matter of fact, in my office back in Nashville, and I've watched it probably 10 times or more. It's a good movie.
I think it's the best golf book ever written, in my view, if you haven't read the book. It's a wonderful book.
Where can they get the movie? Or if
it's available on cable, on pay-per-view. It's on international airline flights right now. Mm-hmm. Amazon.
Did you buy it?
Yeah, okay. DVD. All of people don't have DVD players anymore too much. People are going to everything digital, but most cable systems have it now.
And the title again?
It's called Tommy's Honor.
Yeah, it's a good movie. Bob, we'll get you a copy.
Yeah,
you watch this.
I'd love to watch it.
Keith Bank from Club Champion, their CEO. We're honored to call you friend. Thank you for all your support for our show and your advice, helping me move this thing along over the years.
Thank you.
It's always fun to have you. So have a great show, and we'll see you down the road soon.
Thanks so much.
Thank you, buddy. We appreciate it.
Pleasure.
Pleasure meeting
you. We'll be right back. You're listening to Golf Talk America on PGAtour.com. Well, everybody, we're still here, and joining us now on the radio stage here at the PGA Merchandise Show is Mr. Bob Bupka, of course, co-hosting today. Thank you, Bob.
My pleasure.
Bob, how many
Mr.
PGA?
Mr. Brendan Sweeney.
How many? Thanks, Frank.
From the French Lick Resort, a proud sponsor of Golf Talk America. Also, thank you.
Hey, how many PGA shows for you, Bob?
A little over 25.
That's a pretty good run.
Yeah.
All in a row.
How many majors?
And the best steak in town is?
Charlie's Steakhouse.
Got to go. I've been here for happening.
Bob, how many majors have you covered?
124.
That's a bunch.
It only means you're old.
No, it doesn't. It means you're good.
Anything.
You get invited back.
30 plus years.
There you go. That's the voice of Joshua Jacobs. He's the CEO of TGA Golf. Did I get that right this time?
Sure. Sounds great.
Is that the way I'm supposed to say it?
It's fine.
How you doing, buddy?
I'm good, man.
How's your golf game?
Non-existent. I played 8 times in 2018.
That's because you're so successful with your company.
I think everyone's successful to some degree, but I played 7 top 100 courses, and 3 of those were with my own clubs.
That's not all bad. Have you been fitted, by the way?
I have. Good. I have. Unfortunately, I haven't got to use them very much.
Good for you. Tell us about TGA.
Well, we've talked many times before. You know, we're the community grassroots program that's going into schools and community centers and attaching these kids to golf at a very early age and really just engaging them in the sport and getting them onto the golf courses. So we do a number of after-school programs, camps, leagues, parent-child events, just runs the gamut. Got to be in the community. Got to be local here for us to activate more golfers into the industry.
And I could say, by experience, your program was put into St. James School here in Orlando, Florida. My daughter was a participant of it. But you have franchises all across the nation. How many different locations are you guys basically in right now?
So we have 135 franchises. We're in 3,400 schools.
3,400 schools.
Yeah, we ran about 2,300 camps last summer. We're looking to eclipse that this year, and we just reinvested in the infrastructure of the business to make it easier for people to grow the different sports that we offer. But it's not easy. You know, we're at the consumer activation level where, you know, we're all here in this hall, and we all want more participation in this game. And it's you know, they talk about it at every industry. You know, consumer activation is the most expensive. It's also the least sexiest part of what we do. Obviously, the competitive aspect of golf is the most sexy. That's where all the sponsorships are, all the player, you know, the really high-level players. But for as we're concerned here, PGA professionals, LPGA professionals, manufacturers, radio, everything, we need more participants, and we got to have more local activation out there.
What age group do you strive for? What do you consider the ideal age to begin?
I'm not really sure if there's an ideal age. I think that there can be programs for every single age to introduce them into the sport. What we concentrate on mainly are our niche is 5 to 10. We go as young as 3. We go as old as 13. And the best part about it is we not only get to activate those ages, but you know, we always talk about here in the industry the elusive millennial, right? That's the people
the
we want. Yeah, we really want to engage
this in front
them.
Of me. I'll talk to you now.
we get a chance to really have communication touch points with them because those are the ages of their parents. So we have the ability to activate them as well and communicate them, really break down one of the barriers to entry in golf of consumer education. So it's an endeavor.
So what does this week mean to you at the PGA show? Obviously developing relationships, but you were also sitting on a couple boards World Golf Foundation?
Yeah, World Golf Foundation. I think that I think we're going to start to see more team-based activities here and more engagement of families with some initiatives in the future. I think that engaging the entire family together at one time is going to be real key for the industry and its success. I also think team-based to put us more in line with other sports is going to be a real feather in our cap as an industry as well. For a long time, we've been known as an individualistic sport, which we still kind of are. But the more people we can get to play and the more people we can get to play together, the stronger the ability to grow the sport at that grassroots level. That's what we found, especially in the schools. I mean, you talk about St. James, but obviously with every school, especially with the female contingent at the young age, they really want to play with other females. So we're starting to see more girls-only programs really take shape.
But you're also
and for mom and dads out there are a lot of female golf scholarships that go unused year in and year out that can certainly help with the education.
Absolutely.
But you're also touching on other sports as well. You have the racket sports. You're doing tennis.
We are. Yeah, we're partners with the USTA. We just worked with the United States Olympic Committee to launch flag football, cheerleading, lacrosse, ultimate frisbee, volleyball, and floor hockey. And I think it speaks to, you know, we always talk about as an industry or as companies, you want to skate to where the puck is going, not to where the puck is currently. And if we look at where the puck is going in the future, I think we're starting to see that American development model, United States Olympic Committee. We're hopefully going to stop with the early sports specialization and get more people playing all the sports to start and really giving them all a try. And then, hey, if you show aptitude here or there, let's get you to the next level with that particular sport. So I think it's important to create the athlete first and then build the competitor second.
Okay. Joshua Jacobs, TGA Premier Golf, we appreciate you so much. Thank you for stopping by and all the best going forward.
TGA.com.
PlayTGA.com.
PlayTGA.com. Yep. Thanks for stopping by.
Thanks, buddy. Frank, we appreciate it. We'll see you down the road soon.
Thanks,
Sweeney.
Guys.
See you, buddy. We'll be right back with more from the PGA Merchandise Show. Coming up, we'll surprise you. You're listening to Golf Talk America on PGAtour.com.
Welcome back to the 2019 PGA Merchandise Show. I'm Bob Bupka. Proud to be sitting up here with Brendan Sweeney. And Brendan, I know you have a very special guest ready to come on.
Yeah, we try to diversify our show a little bit. We can't have everybody, you know, CEO of one company and CEO of another company, but we have a man of the street, Mr. Travis Kent. Welcome.
Thank you,
to
guys.
Golf Talk America. Well, how's your PGA show going for you?
It's going great. Met a lot of people, made a lot of contacts, and hopefully going to sell a lot of this product.
Well, tell me about the product real quick.
So it's called Alignment Pro.
Get that by your bio.
We're a fairly new company. We have a dual-hinged alignment stick, as you can see in your hands here. Multiple uses, about 200 or so tour players that are using it on a weekly basis. So they believe in the product and they use the product kind of every week at tour events.
So were you at a demo day?
We weren't at demo day. We actually had a booth 2 years ago. I'm just kind of here walking around the show trying to make some relationships and get the product.
So how does a daily hustle work for a ham and egg like yourself?
Basically just making some phone calls and showing people how it works, trying to get it in people's hands. Our main target audience is going to be the green grass instructors,
right?
So they can use it in their lessons and hopefully, you know, sell the product to their students.
So you have any other products besides the Alignment Pro here?
No, just the Alignment Pro. It's kind of a one and all, you know, all in one training aid. You can use it for putting, chipping, full swing. A lot of the tour players that use it, if you turn the hinge, it goes to 90 degrees on both sides, so you can put it into a putting green, use it as a track.
Oh, cool.
You can use it for alignment on your toe line. You can put the stick down for ball position. There's multiple uses, and if you pay attention, you can see a lot of tour players using it week in, week out.
Brendan, you see tons of players come through French Lick. One common problem I've always noticed with golfers, they're not aiming anywhere near where they think they're aiming, and then what do? They try and somehow in that swing, they want to correct their alignment. It'd be so much easier if they had this. They could, you know, find out where they're aiming, aim properly, and probably make a better strike on the ball.
Exactly. I mean, you could have a great golf swing, but if you're aimed incorrectly, you're not going to hit it on your target line.
Well, I'm almost blind in my left eye. So when I line up, I mean, when I play golf with Frank, he's like, hey, you're way off base. It's just something I need to correct.
Right.
It's just
this is great because you can set up a practice station on the range to cater what you want to work on, whether it is alignment whether it's your swing plane, whether it's, you know, going over the putting green, chipping green, use it on the range. That's where you train, and then you go to the golf course, and that's where you trust what you've worked on.
How can we track this down?
AlignmentPro.com. And if anybody's listening, we actually have a show special. If you put in show 15 at checkout, you get a 15% discount.
How much does it cost?
Retail is $59.95.
All right.
Very reasonable.
Yeah. Travis Kent, thank you for your time.
Thank you, guys.
Good luck. Have a wonderful show. And
appreciate it.
Just the things that just drive by here is absolutely incredible. So there's somebody who's just here with an alligator right in front of us. All right, Travis.
The things you see in Florida, right?
Thanks, Travis.
Thank you, guys.
Talk to you soon.
All right, we got to get Frank Bassett back up here. His union rep said he had to get a five-minute break. I don't know if that's true or not, but we're in good shape.
We're having a good time here. We want to bring up, who are we bringing up next, Brendan? Let's bring these guys up from Sun Mountain.
Yep.
Let's talk to them for a quick 5 minutes about what they're doing, because we got to ride around on their new scooters.
That thing was great.
That was an absolute blast. Bob, you didn't get to see these things, but that's it right there.
Wow.
How cool is that?
Easy rider, baby.
It won't hurt the fairways. You can ride it across the greens. It won't hurt the greens. It does less damage than a four-wheel golf cart to the golf course. So
it makes
really
it more fun.
So let's bring in
Rick.
Man. Rick, you all sit there?
Absolutely.
The CEO. Now, Sun Mountain, let's talk about this device that you guys have come up with. It's new. It's not released yet, correct?
No, actually, we were out in the fall.
Okay.
Yeah, we made a preliminary pass through a few territories, had unbelievable response, and now we're trying to catch up on production.
And Rick, I'm sorry, but how do you say your last name?
Reimers.
Reimers, okay. Yeah. Kind of like Charlie Reimer, who just came back.
Yeah.
He's going to join us.
So what we're looking at here is a two-wheeled motorcycle-type golf cart.
Exactly. Sun Mountain started 1981. Innovated with a super lightweight golf bag. 86, we put legs on a golf bag. Prior to that, nobody had built-in legs. In 1999, we came out with a three-wheel push cart. Both of those things changed the game. And now I think it really needs changing. We need to speed up the game, have more fun, get more people on the course, and create more revenue for the golf course. So.
Well, we got to ride that at Lake Nona.
Yeah.
And in what I said earlier, bringing you on, this, what do you call it, a golf
car? We call it Finn Cycle.
Finn Cycle.
Yeah, can I tell you about that? It describes
yes, please.
It a little bit.
Yeah.
We didn't know what to call it, and we had technical names. I realized we wanted to have it run by an app, and if you have an app, you want to have an easy-to-remember name, which usually is four letters, and everybody remembers the name of our dog, Finn, and he's fun, so it's a Finn Cycle.
Finn Cycle. Now, is Finn a real dog?
He's a real dog, little Maltipoo.
Maltipoo. Yeah. I think I heard you say that in the presentation on this device will not, the Finn Cycle will not damage a golf course.
No, we have... you know, we gave hundreds of rides at the demo day.
I wrote it.
And you couldn't, at the end of it, you couldn't see any damage at all to the turf. The course superintendents always feel like it's their job to say, what's this going to do to the turf, and I don't think I like this. We drive it around. We end up, if they'll allow us, to drive it on the golf green. And you can drive it around, make some turns, and... not see any evidence that it's been on the green. And that usually is the end of the discussion.
Your revenue model is going to be a ride-sharing type thing?
Yeah, they got, since the day I began designing, we always elected to put the highest quality and the safest product in. The cost kind of went up and up, and I realized that it was going to be hard to get enough people to buy them quickly to... reach some kind of a tipping point. So the idea is the golf course makes, we're trying to develop a partnership with the golf course. They make a small payment, $600, which would be a fraction of the price. We operate it with an app. We share the revenue with the golf course, and we're partners in the maintenance. We provide parts and they provide the labor, and we'll work with them however we can.
I want one. I told Steve Snyder that. I said, I want one, period. It'll be the official vehicle of Golf Talk America on PGA.
We'll get it logoed all up.
We'll get it logoed on it.
I'll give you Steve's.
Okay, that's fine. He doesn't need it.
Boss says so.
Bob, you need
one of these. And I'll buy the helmet. No, but that will definitely speed up play, right? I mean,
first time I took it out to Missoula Country Club, I played 9 holes in 30 minutes. I didn't believe it. I thought I mistimed it. I went out, played 9 more in 30 minutes.
Wow.
We have 2 marginal golfers in our company, and they go to a fairly busy public course. They play 18 holes in 2 hours.
Wow, that's cool. Thank you for stopping by. Where can they go to see this online?
Finnscooters.com.
F-I-N-N.
F-I-N-N,
Scooters.com.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
Thank you for stopping by. We really like your product. We'll be right back with more from the PGA Merchandise Show. I believe Mr. Juan's going to be joining us in just a second. Josh Payton's going to give us a couple of quick minutes, and we're not going to go to a break. We're just going to kill a microphone, get Josh Payton up here as quickly as possible, and roll on with the show because we're running out of time. And we have our buddy Josh Payton, who is a veteran. We've got a lot of veterans on this show these days. Veterans Golfers Association CEO Josh Payton. Hey, buddy.
What's going on?
Good to see you again.
Good to see you. It's been a while.
Hey, we got 3 minutes, but I want to get the most out of that with you because we've been friends for a long time. We met years ago at the Masters.
Yeah.
And so what's going on with VGA?
Oh, man, we're kicking off our 2019 season. We have about 300-plus events for veterans and their family members all across the country, and culminating our national championship at the Greenbrier this year. So we're really excited.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a nice spot.
It is a great spot.
Golf tournament.
Yeah, we got over 4,000 members now. We keep growing by about 1,500 members a year, and we're excited. We're excited for the new season.
That's awesome.
It's neat stuff. Thank you for your service, by the way.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you for your service. You're a captain, am I correct?
Captain in the Army, yep. Infantry, 82nd Airborne Division, 3 deployments to Iraq. It was an honor and a pleasure to serve our country.
Well, it's all right to have you. Yeah, God bless your heart for going into the war zone.
Yeah, great. You guys going to be at the Masters this year?
We will.
Awesome.
We certainly will. We'll see you there at the Masters.
We sure will. We'll have 15 new VGA champions from this past year's championship at the Olympic Club. We'll be out there, and they'll get to walk those hallowed grounds. And so we're really excited for them to get to see it and experience that.
This whole team up here will be there. Bob Bupka hasn't missed one. And how many majors, Bob?
124.
But 124 majors. Wow, unbelievable.
That's all right.
How do people find out more about VGA?
They can go to vgagolf.org. They can follow us on Facebook at VGAGolf and on Instagram at VGAGolf. It's an active community of veterans that love to play golf and lose some golf balls along the way. So it's a lot of fun. So I encourage everyone that's listening, if you're a veteran or the family member of a veteran, join the VGA.
Absolutely. Thank you for stopping by.
Thank you for having me.
We appreciate it so much. When we come back, we'll have the commissioner of the LPGA join us, Mr. Michael Juan. You're listening to Golf Talk America on PGAtour.com. We might even put the show on LPGA.com. I think we should. Joining us now is a man who has done an unbelievably fabulous job for the World of Golf and LPGA Tour, and that's not Brendan Sweeney or not Bob Pupka, although Bob contributes a lot and has forever, and my mentor, and I thank you for being here, Bob.
Well, it's a pleasure, and this gentleman joining us now, the commissioner of the LPGA Tour, I got to be honest, Mike, when you took the job, my first reaction was, well, he better be Magic Juan, not just Mike Juan, and I am certainly proud to say you have worked your magic. The LPGA every year gets bigger, stronger, better. And you're global. Everything that anybody could have ever hoped for the ladies is being accomplished right now. Job well done.
I appreciate it, Bob. I wish the reason that was happening was Mike Juan, but I think we all know what's going on in women's golf right now has nothing to do with me. It's about great young golfers coming from all over the world. We teed up in Orlando last week, but 175 countries were watching us. And it's, what's happening now with the women's movement and empowerment, diversity, inclusion, as one sponsor said to me, you guys are a walking, living, breathing example of that every day on the tee box. So we're also just a really good fit right now with what corporations are trying to get across. So I'm proud of what's happening in women's golf. I do know that, and I've said this in many player meetings, if this is good as it gets, then shame on us, because I really believe we're at the beginning of a growth spurt, not at the end of one.
You know, the amazing thing, I think the benchmark of any tour is not what happens on Sunday, it's what happens on Wednesday at the Pro-Am. And I know for a fact that participants in LPGA Pro-Ams come away from that experience, can't wait to do it again. And not always the case on some of the other Pro-Ams that they get an opportunity to play in.
Well, we talk about it a lot. We even do some training at the earlier stages of other tours. But I always tell players that if you want to be a professional on Thursday to Sunday, you got to be a great host on Wednesday. Wednesday is payday for the check writer. Sunday might be your payday, but Wednesday is their payday. So if we can take care of the check writer and their customers and their business, if we can be the same kind of hosts we are as a professional tour, then we're going to be playing that event for a long time. If we start blowing off Wednesdays, we'll wonder whatever happened to that event.
That's well said, because I've played in several of your events. I play in a lot of stuff. And at French Lick, got to play with some of the Symetra Tour girls, which was a lot of fun. Shannon T. Fish, by the way, was my playing partner, and she was a piece of work. What a lovely young lady. But all the young ladies there were polite and kind and nice and giving and caring, and that says a lot for your leadership.
Yeah, it's funny. I was doing an interview one time with Golf Digest. Natalie Gulbis went by and said, 2 for 4 today, commission. We high-fived. And he said, what was that all about? I said, nah, nothing. Don't worry about it. So we keep doing the interview. He turns off his phone at the end. He said, come on, what was the 2 for 4? And I said, that was Natalie saying that she had 4 people in her program today, and 2 of them are going to spend money on the LPGA. I mean, she thinks about it like a batting average. You know, how'd I do today? And he said, you're kidding me.
How
I said,
good
no,
is that?
I said, that's what 2 for 4 means. I didn't want to tell you during the middle of the interview. But the reality of it is, she knows when she shows up on the first tee, these are people that have already spent their hard-earned money to be out here, and they already have an affinity for the LPGA and what we're doing in women's golf. And if you do that right, it just might lead to more. And I always say to players, it doesn't have to be on Mike Wan's tour. It could be on your bag, your shirt, your hat. But if we can, on Wednesday, engage these people into our business, that's how you wake up with a title sponsor. That's how you wake up with a race to the CME Globe. That's how you wake up with major expansion worldwide. So, yeah, I'm proud. I think the players understand that. I think we blow people away that we still write handwritten thank you notes every week.
Incredible.
But those are little things. But, I mean, I always say I have zero experience being a commissioner. How I got this job, I have no idea. I'm not really sure I should have. But I've been a check writer my whole life. I grew up in the marketing side of the business. I've sponsored every sport, including every golf thing in the world. So I know what it's like to write a big check and then wonder if it was worth it. So I never want to have one of our check writers wonder if we cared about their business or we only cared about ours. I've written checks to sports that cash my check. They do what's legally in the agreement, but they don't really care about what I'm talking about in my board meeting. They don't really care about what I'm up night worrying about. If we can figure that out, the rest takes care of itself.
That's fantastic. What is the future? I mean, your purses have grown tremendously over the last few years. You're at, what, $70 million this year?
Yeah, a little over $70
million. That's fabulous.
Thank you.
Great job. What does this week mean to you?
Well, I mean, a couple of things. One is we get a lot of our, I mean, I use the term check writers. I hope they don't mind that term, but we get a lot of our check writers.
We stroke a couple.
You sure do. We get a lot of our check writers to come here. So, I mean, it's an important opportunity. Generally, I'm on a plane pretty much every day of my life. To actually drive somewhere, which I did today, is a huge home run. And to drive somewhere where 50, 60, 70 of the people that are big involved in our business are already here. A lot of our teachers from the LPGA Teachers Association here. Almost all of our top site instructors for USGA, LPGA Girls Golf are here. And back to your kind of original question, you know, obviously we've had great purse growth, we've had great tournament growth, but the upside for the LPGA is still staggering. If you think about it, we deliver 500 hours of TV a year, we deliver it to 175 countries, but 6-7 times a year we show up on network TV. Generally we're advertising to the Golf Channel fan, which is great. But I want to introduce our tour to the fan that doesn't pay attention to golf all the time. This last weekend, we spent Saturday and Sunday on NBC. That's 1 million viewers who probably don't watch us week in and week out. And so being able to find opportunities, whether it's network TV, whether it's doing something with the senior LPGA championship at French Lick, whether it's doing a team competition in Midland, Michigan, men and women on the same course at the Vic Open, those are all things on our schedule that I think are breakers. They're not what you expect. And it gives us a chance to introduce the tour to a larger fan base than who might follow us week in and week out.
My only suggestion would be that might get a little more enthusiasm about the LPGA Tour.
That's caffeine, Bob.
Yeah.
You know what's great for the LPGA Tour, and I spent some time with her yesterday, Susie Whaley, now the first female president of the PGA of America. I mean, that dovetails so nicely with what you're accomplishing on your tour.
You know, it's funny you say that, Bob. I was talking to five or six players. This was at the end of last year in Naples, and we were at dinner. And I stopped in the middle of dinner and I said, I hope you guys aren't so busy and so focused on golf that you're not missing major hurdles coming down. And they said, what do you mean major hurdles? And I said, well, next year when we're here in Naples, we're going to be playing for a $1.5 million winner's check. That's the largest winner's check in women's golf history. I hope you don't miss the fact that when you show up at the KPMG Women's PGA Championship, that the PGA, together with KPMG, just put on a major that's going to be with us for 50 years. I hope you don't miss the fact that Susie Whaley is now the president of one of the greatest golf organizations in the world. These are fundamental female hurdles that are coming down in our sport. And sometimes all of us, we can just be grinding through it, and you walk in here and you go, gosh, still feels 80% men, 20% women. I mean, you can go through all that. I also said, I hope you don't miss the fact that when you ask the NGF about the future of the game, and they show you the stats for people who play golf under the age of 16, it's now a third women. For 100 years, that's been 15% and 85% men. So when people ask me about the future of the game, I tell them, I don't know what the future is going to look like. It's just going to be a lot more female. Get ready for it, because I don't have to guess on that. Youth golf is more female than it's been in 100 years. So we're breaking down some major hurdles. And sometimes when you just go to work every day and drive home on Friday, you can miss these things. But what's happening in the game of golf is going to be one of those times we look back and say, hey, in that 2015 to 2020 era, hurdles came down for women's golf.
You know, it's amazing, Mike. Years ago, Nancy Lopez was the shining light on the LPGA Tour. Now when I look at the current crop of players, good players, young players, they all remind me so much of Nancy Lopez, almost like they went to a Nancy Lopez training school.
Some of them actually did. Nancy's done some training for us on the Symetra Tour. We've used current and former players to do a lot of our player training before they become LPGA players. At the end of the day, Mike Wan stands up and says, I want to talk to you today about how to do a pro-am, and they all check their phone. There's a better app than me. But if you bring Annika Sorenstam to talk about nutrition and fitness, there's not a phone out in that room, because, I mean, everybody wants to figure out how Annika. So we used our own members to educate, you know, the future members about what this is all about. It's funny, I was doing an interview with, I think it was ESPN, about 6 months ago, and the guy said to me, you don't have one face of the LPGA. I mean, you used to have, you know, Tiger Woods was the men's and Nancy was the women's, and you don't have a single face. And I said, well, who's the face of the NFL? And the guy said, what do you mean? I said, well, I have three boys. One would argue Drew Brees. One would argue Tom Brady. One would have argued Peyton Manning, because he's the oldest. And I said, nothing wrong with the NFL, right, having multiple faces? If you ask fans of the LPGA all over the world, some might say Shen Shen Funk. Some might say Lexi Thompson. Some might say So Young Yu. Some might say NASA from Japan. The reality of it is we've got a lot of faces coming from a lot of regions, and I got to believe that's a healthier way to run a sport than just having one face, because when you have one face and that face decides not to play that week, it's sort of an asterisk tournament. When you have 15 people that represent your tour, every event is a world event.
That can spill over into corporate America and sales, which I came from years ago. And I used to say, I don't want one big customer. I'd rather have 1,000 small customers, because the effect of losing that one customer can be devastating to a company or to an organization, much like the LPGA or PGA Tour. My commitment to you, Mike, is we'll do more. Golf Talk America wants to participate with the LPGA.
Excellent.
Ron Cyrak and I have talked about trying to do something together, do something with some of your players to give you some content on your website, because we really want to be part of the LPGA.
I think if you bring our players in once, you'll be bringing them in the rest of your time. I mean, Daniel Kang is a lot more interesting than Mike Wan. I'd be happy to hand the headset to somebody like that, and you'll see why so many people follow the LPGA.
Well, I love watching the LPGA because I want to emulate their swing. I just do, because it's just perfect, and it's timed, and it's smooth, and it's not like we try to do, which is muscle the ball down the road. They finesse it, and they hit it a long way.
It's something to see Stacey Lewis, you know, 100 and what, maybe 20 pounds, totally wet, yeah. Hit the ball 280 yards. And there I am standing next to her at a pro-am, and I'm thinking, that's driver 9-iron for me. I don't think I can learn about how Bubba hits a 58-degree 175. I think at that time is
that's
past.
Crazy.
But trying to figure out how a player of that size and stature can have it timed up and have that kind of, you know, have that kind of swing path to 280 yards. I mean, we all want to learn from that. The really cool thing about playing at an LPGA program, you're standing on the on a par 3, 155 yards out, and you say, "What are you hitting?" She'll say 7-iron. You'll have a 7-iron. So you're playing a lot of the same game. You, yeah. you wake up and you lost by 35 strokes, but at least the experience, you know, you hit from the same tees, you have a lot of the same shots in. It is a lot more relatable. You can learn a lot more from that experience. And in my case, every time I play in a program, I get 144 swing thoughts on my text messages later that night. Even players I want playing with will see me in another fairway, and I'll come home at night, and Suzanne Pedersen will say, "Get to your left side." You know, thinking, "I didn't even see you today." But it's there's a lot to be learned out there.
Commissioner, thank you for what you've done for the LPGA. Thank you for coming on Golf Talk America. You've been a great friend of the show, and we certainly appreciate it. We'll be a better friend to the LPGA in the future.
Good man.
I appreciate you guys.
Michael Wan from the LPGA. You're listening to Golf Talk America on PGAtour.com, and this is our last show from the PGA Merchandise Show for 2019, but we'll see you out on tour. Thanks, everybody. Bye now.